Text this morning comes from Exodus chapter 17, and then a passage from Exodus 18. I considered apologizing for the length of the scripture reading this morning, but I think reading the scriptures is an okay thing. From Exodus 17, verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled. Somebody say grumbled. Pastor Newton was happy that I had preached on grumbling last week when he was away. And I told him we're going to get a little more grumbling this week. They grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Sound familiar? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord with us or not?" Verse 11, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset, and Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. And this is built an altar and called it, 'The Lord is my banner.'" He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." And then over to chapter 18, verse 5. Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and he stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw what Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Say, not good. "You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and his instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. In simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this as God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. May the Lord our God bless this reading of his word to our understanding this morning. Help me. Help me. Those are two very powerful and significant words in our lives. Help me. They are not words that we say easily or casually. We may say, help me, when we face something that is more than we can do ourselves. Sometimes we wait to see help, to say, help me, till when we are desperate. Reaching out for help is an act of humility, that we can't do it on our own, that we are in over our heads. We reach out for help when it looks like it's not going to get done any other way. Saying, help me, is hard for many of us. We tend to be self-sufficient, especially in this day and age and in what we are taught. You've heard the term self-made man or self-made woman. That's the idea that I did it without any help. I did it in my own strength, and I figured it out on my own. Well, how often does that really happen? I think it is rare. I think that in any worthwhile endeavor in life, stuff is accomplished in a group, with a partner, or partners. I want you to think for a minute about those who have helped you. In this life, there come situations and circumstances where you need help. And I've said to you several times in these last weeks and months that God, the Holy Spirit, is in the business of putting people together to help one another, to bring forth his purpose in our lives. Say, help me. There's some very strong lessons for us in these verses of Scripture that we read. Let's see what God has to say to us in these passages. First of all, we need help from God. We need help from God. Look at our text in 17 and 4 and 5. Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people that are ready to stone me? The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take your hand and the staff which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand, say that, I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. Moses needed help. He once again needed help from the Lord. Once again, the folks were grumbling. Moses cries out to God. This looks like desperation to me. I love this part which God says, I will stand before you by the rock. Wow. God says, I hear you. You need help. And I will be there. I don't think that I need to tell you people that God will help you.
Yes.
Look, he will be there for you. Cry out to him and he will hear and show up. In this room, there are many of you who can honestly say, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me.
Amen.
And there he was, standing by the rock. And out comes fresh water, life-giving water, refreshing water, cleansing water. God says, I will stand before you by the rock. Psalmist David knew about crying out to God when he needed help. We read the Psalms and we see many passages like this one in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Somebody say, God help me. I can preach a while here on patience. I can speak for a while on God turning to me in my time of trouble. Or about Him rescuing me or setting my feet upon a rock. But I just want to say one thing to you right here today. Cry out to Him for help.
Amen.
God is there. And He says it. Cry out to me. Somebody say, help me.
Help me.
Secondly, we need help from others around us. We need help from others around us. Verse 10 of our text said, Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and sat on him. Aaron and Hur held his hands off, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. We need help from others around us. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the nation of Israel, who had left Egypt only to find themselves between a rock and a hard place, with the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. You see, Moses has learned that the presence and power of God was the most important ally, the most important partner that Israel had, the presence and power of God. You see, God and His power had come through for them already several times. And the lesson has been learned, at least by Moses. Moses and Israel needed the help of their Father God. So in this situation, with a new enemy, knowing that the power of God was made manifest in the staff that God had given him, Moses sends Joshua. This is the first glimpse, by the way, that we have of Joshua. And a hand-picked army out to fight the Amalekites. So Moses sends the army out. And he decides to find an overlook, say overlook, a hill on which to watch the battle. He takes two others with him, Aaron and Hur. We see immediately that when Moses held up his hands with the rod of God, that Joshua and the army prevailed. When his hands got tired and no longer were held high, Joshua's army started to be defeated. Somebody say, help. Moses needed help. He certainly needed help from God, the power to win the battle. But in this situation, he also needed a little help from a couple of friends. So I invite you to visualize this picture. Eighty-year-old Moses, on top of a hill with the staff of God in his hands, held up by his rapidly tiring arms. Aaron is on one side of him. You remember Aaron? He's the brother of Moses. And God had called Aaron to be alongside of Moses on this whole mission of deliverance. You remember that God told Moses that he would send someone to help him to speak to the people, his brother Aaron. And Aaron becomes his right-hand man. Eventually, Aaron becomes the high priest of the nation. But another helper emerges here. His name is Hur, H-U-R. And if you study further in the Old Testament, you will discover that Hur is the son of Moses' sister Miriam, so this is Moses' nephew. I want us to consider for a moment the help that these two sidekicks give to Moses. First, we see that Moses got tired. Can anyone relate? Stepped into the hospital room last evening, looked at my daughter-in-law and said, "How are you doing?" And she says, "I'm tired." Tired. Sure, we can relate. We get tired fighting the battles of life. I said, we get tired fighting the battles of life. The two guys that were at his side recognized that Moses was getting tired. Seems obvious, doesn't it? Moses' arms grew tired. His hands headed to the ground. But I want you to consider this morning that it's not so obvious for any of us to recognize fatigue in our family and friends. It takes a sensitive person to recognize a need and to step up and help someone. Help another person who's tired. You see, true friends, real friends, recognize the need and step up to help. Look at the first thing they do. They find him a folding chair. Come on, that's pretty good.
That's a good idea.
Not only were his arms tired, but apparently his legs got tired as well. And so Aaron and Hur found him in the seat. Not just in his seat, they fetched him a solid rock. They pointed him to the rock. Okay? Sometimes what your friend needs is to be pointed to the solid rock in which to rest and face their life. I said, sometimes what your friend needs is to be pointed to the rock. The solid rock on which we must stand and sit is Jesus. You will recall what we've talked about many times here. Build your house on the firm foundation of the rock. And I say to you, help your friend base their lives on building their life on the solid rock. I'm thinking about this. Sit down, Moses? Wait a minute. There's a battle going on. What do you mean, sit down? There's an enemy to fight. What do you mean, sit down? Listen, the role of Moses in this battle was to go before the Lord on behalf of those who are out in the front lines. That was Moses. You see these funny things that say you had one job?
Yeah.
You had one job. I think they're hysterical too.
Yeah.
Moses had a singular purpose and job here. It was to represent before God and to hold up the manifest presence and power of God. That was Moses' task.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6, verse 11, says this: put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Friends, Moses was fighting the spiritual battle. I can preach here a while. Don't try to fight spiritual battles with earthly weapons.
Yeah.
He just sat down, resting on the rock, facing himself on the rock, fighting a heavenly battle, not a physical one. Friend, we can rest in the assurance that our God will fight for us. I said, we can rest in the assurance that our God will fight for us. Say it.
Yes.
Sometimes you need help. Second thing I want you to notice is that there was a friend on the left, a friend on the right. And they are participating in the battle with Moses. I've said to you several times, you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
We can't do this alone. You need someone on your right and someone on your left fighting with you. Not fighting against you. Fighting alongside them. We need prayer partners. Oh, how God honors people who pray for one another. These two guys helped hold up the staff of God, the manifest power. And in that manifest power, there is victory over the enemy. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need a partner. Or a couple. Moses recognized the need for helpers. When we read the text, we found out that Moses called for Aaron and Achilah to go along up the hill with him. He didn't do it alone. He knew better. Say, I know better.
I know better.
Huh? You can't do it alone. Sometimes you need help, but you will also have opportunities to be a helper. Be an Aaron or a Hur. But hold up someone's arms when they're tired. Walk up the hill alongside of someone. Be on one side and maybe another partner on the other side. Be an Aaron. Be a Hur. But also recognize when you need an Aaron on one side and a Hur on the other side. I'm here to tell you the battle is harder if you don't want to help.
Yeah.
Thirdly, sporting. Family relationships are vital. Family relationships are vital. 18:5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." I want to celebrate in this passage Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. You will recall that back early in our study, we saw Moses tending the sheep belonging to his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro, this same Jethro who released and blessed Moses to go on his mission to rescue Israel. Well, Jethro does not completely phase out of the story. Obviously, he continued to care for Moses' wife and two sons during this time. Oh, how we need godly family to support us from time to time. Healthy, loving families care for each other in many ways. Practical ways. Like caring for members of the family for seasons of time. Especially when a member of a family follows a calling from the Lord. You see, the family that follows Jesus is dedicated to each member of the family to be able to follow their calling in Christ. Jethro facilitated Moses heading to Egypt for his mission. In a very practical way, he cared for his wife and kiddos. You see, the family that follows Jesus is dedicated to each member to be able to follow their calling in Christ. Moses left his family back in Midian so that he could follow the calling that had been placed on his life at the burning bush. He was able to do that in assurance and in confidence, in part because of his support from a godly father-in-law. I don't think that's a stretch. Yeah. I want us to celebrate something else about this godly father-in-law, Jethro. Fourthly, leadership requires godly wisdom. Leadership requires godly wisdom. 18:17. Moses' father-in-law looked at Moses and said, "What you are doing is not good." Say, not good. You and these people who come to you are only going to wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You getting the theme this morning? Anybody? Help me. You cannot handle it alone. Now listen to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. Advice. Wisdom. Input. Kids call it feedback, too. Oh, how we need it. And I love this last sentence that we just read. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. The advice of Jethro comes with the blessing of God.
Yes.
Hang on. Man, you can fly over that one. You can fly right over that one. Listen, I'll give you some advice. God bless you. Fly over. May God be with you. The advice of Jethro comes with the blessing of God. That's the best kind of advice. But not just human reasoning. Not just based on human experience. The basis of this advice is not in finance or leadership training or a master's of business degree, the infamous MBA from an Ivy League school. May God be with you. You know, you can look at his statement and see the "may God be with you" thing as an afterthought. I don't think so. "May God be with you" is the heart of the advice that Jethro gives. May God empower you to do what he has called you to do, to lead this nation as you draw them close to me. May God be with you. Somebody say, help him. So under the wisdom and advice of Jethro, Moses puts a plan together for governing the people, for solving problems. Delegation. Dividing up the work. Make no mistake, a leader can't do it alone.
Man.
You can't do it alone as a leader of a business. You can't do it alone by yourself as the leader of a family. And dare I say, leading a church or ministry can't be done alone. Chuck Swindoll writes about delegation in leadership. Chuck says this: many times leaders try to do too much on their own. They neglect to bring others on to shoulder the load. It doesn't sound like a very spiritual subject, but it carries serious spiritual overtones. When a person is overworked, drained, and exhausted because the workload has not been properly delegated as needed, irritation begins to set in. And on the heels of irritation comes confusion, loss of vision, and tragically, burnout. Some wisdom from Chuck Swindoll writing about the text that we just heard. Just a side note here. Moses heeds his father's advice, his father-in-law's advice. He puts the plan into place. Moses' leadership is strengthened, and the result is beautifully laid out in verses 22 and 23. Look at this. That will make your load lighter. Say amen. Glory to God. Because they will share it with you. If you do this, as God commands, two things. One, you will be able to stand strain. And two, and I love this, the people are going to go home satisfied. That's customer service, Moses style.
Amen.
I love it when a customer of Buddy Rogers Music or Pro Shop goes home satisfied. Doesn't that sound great? I love it when a plan comes together. Help me. It's one of my notes, but I need to share this. some of you try to do it on your own because you think it might be easier. You ever hear anybody say, I'll just do it myself, and get done right, it'll be easier to deal with a group and committee. God's plan. God's pattern. God's blueprint for successful business is to have partnership. I believe it as clear as I stand here. Had Aaron and Hur not come up the mountain, they would have lost the war. Because Moses couldn't do what needed to be done. If Jethro, the father-in-law, had shown up with some godly father-in-law advice, Moses would still be sitting in the middle of that group of people trying to decide all their issues. God's plan, God's pattern is for us to live a successful life in Christ together. With helpers. Rodney used to tell our kids, always look for the helper. Jeffrey used to say, helpful. Always look for the helpful. Help me. Don't be ashamed or afraid or hesitant to say it. It's God's plan.
Yeah.
It's God's pattern. In review this morning, we need help from God. We need help from those around us. Family relationships are vital. And leadership requires God's wisdom. Father, thank you for your word this morning.